Okay, good morning, everybody. It's Cathy Duffy here from Devon Insight. Lovely to see you all coming into the room. As you know, as you enter the room, your telephone will be muted, so you can hear us, but we can't hear you. And that's just so that it makes it easier for the speaker to be able to do their thing and to be able to hear, be heard clearly by everybody. We are really lucky today. We have Yvonne Brooks from RNIB, who's going to be talking to us about their services, their normal services pre and post COVID, and the services that they are running at the moment while we are in this strange situation with COVID-19. If we get time at the end, we are going to open up the room so that people can ask any questions that they might have, which would be lovely. And I will just kind of like remind people of who our speaker is next week and the support that we can offer people as well. So on that note, I would like to welcome Yvonne, and Yvonne, the room is yours.
How lovely. Well, it's really, really an honour to be asked to speak to you all today, but it's also very strange because it feels as though I'm speaking to no one because, of course, I can't hear you. But here's hoping you can all hear me properly. And as Cathy so kindly said, I'm going to tell you a bit about the RNIB. But in specific, my job is to do with the technology. So I think I'm going to concentrate on how things are currently, because hopefully I can talk to you again when things are more normal. But you need to know. But you need to know what's going on at the moment, because it is very different. Let me explain what I do. Currently, at least 2 days a week, I'm on our technology rota, and the rota covers the whole country. And when you phone into the RNIB, so if you phone 03 03 123 9999, and you have a technology question, it is likely you'll be put through to the technology team, as the helpline people don't have an extensive knowledge of technology. And so there's someone, there are three people on the line at any one time, with other people sort of waiting, as it were. So we are doing other work, but if the line becomes busy, then they call more of us in to answer the calls. These calls have become the focus of our technology work at the moment. It is the way that we are trying to help people with their technology. However, so as not to block the line with long calls, because a technology problem isn't necessarily solved in 5 minutes, we may ask the person, can we call you back on another day, or can we arrange for a volunteer to call you and to help deal with your problem. So it is much harder to deal with problems over the phone rather than face to face. We can't deny that. But I have been surprised, I've been delighted about how many problems we have managed to solve over the phone. And sometimes really quickly. I mean, there are calls to do with talking book players that have suddenly started gabbling, or stopped working altogether, or things like that. And that is something that we can often sort just by going through some procedures with people over the phone. And that's really, really rewarding. We can also talk through processes like getting onto our talking book service, or ironing out troubleshooting issues people have with the app Dolphin Easy Reader. So that's one side of things. If people are referred to a volunteer, unfortunately, at the moment, that volunteer cannot visit their house. However, there are a number of things that can happen. They can do like we do, but for a longer period of time. They can talk to you and talk you through how to do things, possible things that may have gone wrong or whatever. But also, if you have someone that either lives with you or visits you who is sighted, we can arrange for an appointment over the phone where they're with you. Now, this can help for setting up accessibility settings where you can't see the device to start with, but once these settings have been set up for you, you can, and we can talk the sighted person through that procedure, so that, and then talk to you once it's done about how to use it. So, and we've had a number of very successful calls done that way. Now, if you really don't get on with training over the phone, all we can do at present is to put you on a waiting list, because there will come a time when we can visit again. And in that case, you'll be the first of the people that, you know, we'll get back to say, yes, we're allowed to visit now, and arrange a time. There is a likelihood that the type of calls that are we're allowed to visit will be sort of staggered. And the first type of call that we can do is one that doesn't actually need you in the room. So if you have stopped being able to receive emails, or if you've lost connection with your printer, or your tablet has stopped speaking to you, or whatever, what can happen is the volunteer can be shown into the room where the device is, and they can deal with it with you not there, thus reducing the length of time that you're actually face-to-face. So that sort of job is likely to happen in your home sooner than the job where someone's going to need to sit down next to you and you're sort of sharing the same airspace, as it were.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, good. But we have no idea when even the first type of visit, unfortunately, will be allowed. But and so what we've done up to now, because there were people at the beginning of COVID who we put on hold, and just before Christmas they were contacted again to ask, you know, has their problem been solved? Do they still need help? Or maybe the problem has changed. And, you know, what they want to do, whether they want to remain on the list, or maybe they want to have a go at over the phone type request. So being put on the hold list, you know, you will get an update, but infrequently. okay until we're actually able to visit you again in person.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes people ask, what can we ask? You know, what sort of things do you deal with? And we normally say anything that can be considered technological. So it might be a phone, a tablet, a computer, a talking book player, a video magnifier, talking watches, talking clocks, anything that, you know, has a battery or an electric connection almost.
Would that include things like the smart speakers?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And we're often asked to about what you need to be able to have one of these devices, because sometimes people think that you just need the device.
Yes.
Whereas you do need an internet connection, and you do need something to set it up with. So you do need a smartphone or a tablet or a computer to be able to set it up. But if anybody's got any doubts, you know, they haven't even got the device yet, but they're interested in getting one, and that goes with any device. So if you're thinking of getting a new phone or a tablet, or you've been wondering about whether you could use a computer even though you have limited or no sight, then phone up the number, because we will give advice, and it's impartial advice. So we don't say, you know, this is the best one, or you should buy one of those. We'll tell you about, you know, a number of different devices so that you can make that choice about which one is best for you. We don't get a commission or anything like that. It's purely we're looking at them from the point of view of what other people have found useful who have a visual impairment. So that's the type of and so you can make inquiries before you've got the device, you know, if you're just thinking about it. Once you've got a device, but maybe that's literally it, you know, it's come in a box and you've no idea what to do with it or how to set it up or anything like that. Or if you've had the device just a little while and you've been using it a bit, but you're sure you there could be more things you could do with it. So you can, you know, phone up and say, look, I can do my email on my iPad or other tablet, but I can't really do anything else. And finally, if you've got problems, so if you are trying to do something, you can't do it, or something you used to be able to do fine, but now can't do for, and you're not sure why, or other problems to do with equipment, you know, problem solving rather than purely just training. So, Kathy, does that sort of give us a breadth of the type of thing people can ask?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And from my experience, and I'm sure it will be true for Tracy and Louise as well, I don't think they would be offended at all when I say that we have some tech knowledge, but there is so much out there that we can't keep up with the amount of different types of equipment that are coming on board, and so many different models. So we do have an overview of equipment, but it's when they go wrong, or that there's a specific issue with them, that we need to hand it over to the experts.
Yes.
Which is your team, Yvonne.
Yes, absolutely.
And
hopefully.
It has really helped people out. I've worked with people who their TV has died a death, but that's because, you know, it was a very, very old TV and they wanted a smart TV that they could connect some of their other smart equipment.
Yeah.
And I've been working with these clients for a very long time and wanted to know which one I thought was best for their particular needs. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm not quite sure. Gave them an ID text number, and the feedback was fabulous. He said it was fantastic. They looked at what he needed the TV for. So that, you know, he wasn't paying a huge amount for all singing and all dancing with kind of features that he wouldn't need or wouldn't use.
Yeah.
So it was looking at what he needed and what was kind of like the range of expenditure he was looking at, and he was delighted, absolutely delighted. And his wife is sighted, so they did manage to set it up, but had a little bit of support with the accessibility functions for a TV that was very, very new to them. It was great, absolutely great.
Good.
Thankfully, they haven't had any problems so far, so they haven't had to come back to you, any problems, which is good.
Yeah. So, on the thing about the breadth of knowledge, there will be products on the market that we haven't come across. But if you know of, you know, if you're thinking, well, I've heard of this device, I wonder if it would be any good for me, then you can ring up with the name of the device and say, you know, I've heard about this XYZ. It happened with the Orcam glasses.
Yes.
People were wanting to know, you know, what they did and, you know, the huge amount of money and, you know, were they really going to be worth it, etc. So phone up with the name of the device and we will do some research and get back to you. So we won't necessarily know about absolutely everything out on the market, but if you tell us what you're wanting to know about, we will, tell you, we'll find out what it does and also maybe suggest something else on the market that also does it or maybe is a lot cheaper or whatever. But one of your lovely contributors asked if all our volunteers have knowledge of all types of assistive tech, and the answer is no, they don't. But that's, if you like, my job and the people who do my job at RNIB's purpose, because we know what each of our volunteers can do and what their strengths and weaknesses are. And so when we allocate the jobs, we would allocate them to someone who has knowledge of that sort of thing. Now, there are slight limitations on that, in that with Android tablets and phones, there is just a mind-boggling number out there. And so you would get a volunteer who has Android knowledge, but not necessarily knowledge of your particular phone or tablet. And so you would have to go through sort of more hoops when you get to speak to them to find out about your particular model, you know, what it's got. So they would get you to go through various menus and things to find out, rather than say, oh yes, this is a Model X, I know that one, blah de blah. So that's, do volunteers have knowledge of all types of tech? The other, if you have a model, you know, make a model number, it's worth letting us know that as well, because there are manuals for most of these devices on the internet. And if we can supply the volunteer with that information, then they can read that up before they visit, because they won't necessarily have hands-on knowledge of every single device out there. Yes, people. Someone else asked if we only deal with products bought through the RNIB shop. Definitely not. We deal with anything wherever you've bought it. The only thing is if it's faulty and you haven't bought it from us, then you will have to go back. You know, once we've proved that it is faulty for you, you'll have to take that up with who you bought it from. But you will have our backing, as it were, to say that the product is definitely faulty, because sometimes people are fobbed off with, oh, are you sure you're doing it right? You know, so we, knowing that there is a definite fault, can help you when you're trying to get replacements or whatever from manufacturers or suppliers.
That sounds fantastic, actually, because it can be really, in the end, you can almost become convinced that, oh, actually, it is me, but I am using it wrong. And to have that reassurance that you've been supported by one of the tech team or volunteers to go through the functioning of the phone is really useful.
And the RNIB, if you like, do that themselves. You know, we're quite often asked by that we'll be passed things to to go through some troubleshooting with the customer, and if we say after that no, there's a fault, they will then be passed back to the helpline to get a replacement. So the RNIB do it with their own products. We're asked to check that there's nothing, that there's an obvious fault, and to go through that first. Right. So how is it working currently? I've mostly covered that, but there are a couple of things. When you phone up, if we're not going to be able to deal with the, solve your issue quickly, we may ask if we can phone you back at another time, or we may, if it's obvious that this is going to take, maybe several calls, we'll suggest volunteer calls you. This is not only from, this is so that we're not blocking the phones, because we're getting a lot of calls in and we don't want to be on the phone for an hour or more solving a problem, meaning that no one else can get through. So as I say, if we're not getting, if we're not solving the problem reasonably quickly, then we'll ask either to call you back on a different day or if we can get a volunteer to call you.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, someone asking and saying that they're a complete beginner and thinking about buying a smartphone. So, as I've said already, yes, we are perfectly able to give you advice, and we'll talk to you about what you want to be able to do. You know, why do you think you want a smartphone as opposed to a simple phone? What are you hoping to be able to do with it? What's your level of sight? Because that will affect what device is best for you. And then it says, can we offer training? So again, at the moment, training is over the phone and would be by a volunteer. Actually, in some ways, that means that you've got a greater number of volunteers who can help you, because it doesn't matter if the volunteer is in Birmingham or Wales or wherever, and on the end of the phone. Whereas if we were sending them to your home, we'd need them to be, you know, within your locality to do that. But there are customers currently who are having training over the phone. In other words, having more than one session to get to use a smartphone or a tablet. Some people do take longer than others to get the hang of things, and that's not a problem. That's not a problem, and particularly not a problem at the moment, because we recognise that it's harder over the phone, and so we're not being, we tend to like to give sort of six sessions if it's face to face, and then ask people to go away and practice, and then come back in a couple of months if they want the help to do new things, yeah, or if they really haven't got the hang of it and they want to refresh what they've already done. So it's not never ending, but we'd hope to get you well on the way, and at the current time we'd be very reluctant to stop training because we're aware it does take that bit longer. And there is no limit to the number of times we can help you. So, we have people who have several calls a year, some people who have, a call 1 year and then not for a couple of years. There isn't any rhyme nor, there's no sort of limit to the number. We might have to say, unless it's, if you've been having a lot of calls, we might have to say, is it possible for you to wait? We do need to prioritise some other calls first. But that's a very rare thing. But, I could imagine that if someone was having, someone in every week, then, there might come a time when we needed to say someone else needs to have the expertise of that volunteer. Another thing someone's talking about, can you receive continuing support with the same volunteer? Now, we do tend to try to vary it so that someone doesn't become too reliant on one volunteer, and so that volunteer doesn't become overwhelmed with clients. It can be that, it's a word of mouth thing, isn't it? One volunteer gets known as being very good, and then people ask for him, and I'm having to be careful that he hasn't just got too much work. After all, they are volunteers.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is perfectly fine to request a volunteer. And then I can know that the customer would like that volunteer, and I can look at their workload at the time and see if that's okay. So do you see what I mean? So if if there's a particular one that he knows my computer of old or whatever, then it might well be that we could get the same volunteer back, but we can't guarantee it.
No, that's important that volunteers, all organisations have a duty of care to the well-being of their volunteers. So it is about that they are that their hours and their time is used in a fair manner.
Yeah. One final thing was grants and money. So the RNIB has a technology grant scheme, But it does have quite stringent criteria. You have to be on a means-tested benefit, as well as being registered visually impaired, and those are the two. Oh, and not had a grant from us within the last 3 years. And there are limits on what you can buy. There's a blanket limit of £500. And currently, we don't do grants for laptops or computers per se. We do grants for tablets and smartphones, and there's a whole list of the things on the website. But you can also phone up and ask about, you know, what would you you'd like to buy a video magnifier, would that be okay? And I can tell you in most cases, yes, it would be. But we also need to check that you'd be able to use it. Now, that's quite a tricky one at the current time, because we can't get people to have demonstrations of the things with you. And so we're having to rely a bit more on someone who knows you. So, for example, if Kathy or any of the other people from the Devon Insight have good knowledge of you and your site and your ability, then a recommendation from them that, yes, they thought this would be a great thing for you to have would be sufficient. Or if you'd had a volunteer from us, it doesn't matter, they don't have actually to see you, but they'd have knowledge of how you, your sort of technology abilities, etc., and what you've been able to functionally be able to use your site for. And then there's quite a long form to fill out, but you can get some help either from ourselves, or I think Devon Insight would give you some help with that as well. Kathy, is that the case? If we gave you a form, would they be able to, or gave them a form, would you be able to help them fill it in? Over the phone, obviously.
In normal times, we wouldn't. But in these circumstances, obviously we can't do form filling face to face. But we would be able to do that over the phone.
Over the phone. That's all I'm suggesting. So the first step would be phoning up the RNIB and asking, you want to talk about technology grants, and you'll be put through to the technology helpline, and we can talk you through what sort of device you're wanting, and we'd talk you through, and then at that point we'd talk about how you could access the form. So the first step is just to phone in. Now, there are other grants out there. I know of one called the Honeywood Trust, who just give grants to technology. They don't require you to be on a means-tested benefit. They just need proof that you couldn't afford to buy it yourself. So that would be copies of your bank statement or whatever to show, you know, that the money just wouldn't be there. Or maybe a copy of any monies going in, so non-means-tested benefits going in. And they will do a wider range. So I have known people who have had a laptop with the software on it supplied by them. They don't really have a form. You have to provide proof of your visual impairment, but that can be a letter from your doctor or whatever. It doesn't have to be the CVI. I talked about money. And then they want to have a letter explaining how the product would help you. And they're really wanting to show that it would improve your independence or increase your decrease your isolation or any of those sort of things, rather than it would enable me to see it. So, you know, it would enable me to read my own letters, for example, for a video magnifier. That sort of thing. And then you would need a support letter, either from the likes of someone from Devon Insight or your local authority, you know, if you're in touch with the hearing and vision team, someone like that who has personal knowledge of you, just to say that they think you would benefit. So there is money out there, but you do have to jump through hoops to get it, unfortunately. I think that's probably me done. Cathy, have you got any other ideas of things I need to speak about? Oh, I haven't talked about the what we normally do, but as I suspected, it has taken this time to do what is happening at the moment.
That was kind of like really useful. It is important for people to know what services the RNIB would offer around technology in normal times, but specifically how RNIB and all other organisations are endeavouring to still provide a service, but in a safe way.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to give a very brief outline of how this differs from normal. So normally the volunteers would actually be able to come to your home. Normally I would be able to come and visit the groups that you have when you meet in person and give talks and demonstrations and training to people like the hearing and vision teams and other people who deal with the visually impaired often want to know more about technology, so we do that sort of training. And I also do training of the volunteers to keep them abreast of the knowledge. Okay, so that's briefly how it differs from normal.
that is fantastic. Thank you, Yvonne. Shall we open up the room for any questions that people might have? We're almost at 10 past.
Yeah.
11 could be a good thing. Oh, that was quick, Tracy and Louise. Does anybody have any questions that they would like to bring to Yvonne?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Hello. Is it Tina Chadwick?
Hi, Tina.
I want to say how I enjoyed our one-to-ones last year. It was about this time last year. We had a one-to-one, didn't we?
Yes.
Probably don't remember me, but I remember you with my tablet, and you went through a lot of things with me on my tablet, which was very helpful. And it'd be nice.
Well, have another go. Well, that's really useful to know. Please take note.
it was in Sidmouth Library, and it went over 6 weeks, and we just about finished the sessions before we had lockdown.
I'm sure Sidmouth will come back into use once we're allowed to. But goodness.
Yes, I know. But it was very helpful at the time. I have since phoned Steve. You know, he was the other
one. Yeah.
Because he lives in Sidmouth. And
absolutely.
I had a couple of problems, and he did actually come and help me out with them. And once I was actually cat-sitting for a friend in Sidmouth in the summer, and he was able to actually come to the house because he only lived up the road. So that was very helpful.
It is lovely when we can do that, and we will be able to do it again.
Because it is just so much easier.
It's easier for the volunteer too, because they can see when things are going wrong, and they can also encourage easier because they can see all the things that are going right as well.
Yeah. I know. It was one. I like to listen to Radio 4 sometimes on my tablet.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, because I sometimes take it in the bathroom, you know, while I'm getting ready in the morning. And it's quite useful for that. But sometimes it doesn't come on, and I don't know why.
Well, it could be to do with the strength of the signal in your bathroom.
Yeah, it has worked before, though, in the bathroom.
Yes, but
it doesn't work.
That could be a reason, that just a variable, signal.
Yes,
I see
what you mean. On the days when it doesn't work in another room either.
Any of the rooms. Okay.
I mean, it's mostly... I've got a radio in the bedroom, but sometimes, you know, if I go into another room or something and there isn't a radio, like my spare room upstairs, and it doesn't seem to work there either for some reason. It does sometimes, it comes on immediately, and other times it doesn't. But you may be right, something to do with the signal, perhaps, at that time.
Well, if that continues to be an issue, Tina, do phone up the helpline. Because I'll get Steve to give you a ring, and he can see if he can work it out. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that important, but it's just
But if it continues to happen, it's worth. And I'm sure Steve would love to have another chat with you.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
And can I just say that? The size of the issue, or the size of the problem, is irrelevant, because the tech team with RNIB will treat them all equally. And particularly at the moment, if that is something that kind of, you know, just gives you a little bit of disappointment or is frustrating, I need to just kind of talk about how important it is, well-being at the moment. With kind of like COVID-19, and for those little things that it might seem like a little problem, but if it brings you joy during the day, then actually in the bigger scheme of things, it's an important thing.
No, please let us be the judge of whether we can offer the help. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
At the moment.
Thank you.
Because certainly from the point of view of volunteers, there is a lot less for them to do, because there aren't so many things that we can say, you know, let a volunteer have a look at, or, you know, talk to people about.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it is the little things that, give a volunteer and keeps them engaged. We don't want to come to the end of this this period and find we've lost volunteers because we've not been using them. So please do ring in, we will try and do the problems both big and small.
Right, thank you. Yes, another thing was that sometimes when I'm in bed in the morning, I like to watch the breakfast show, and I haven't got a television in my room, so I used to watch it on my laptop, you know, in the morning, but all of a sudden that didn't work, and it says something about signing in again, and I'm not very good at that, so I'm not very good at signing in to things.
Okay, now that is something that definitely Steve could help you with.
Yeah, I'm sure he could. Yes, I will get in touch with him about that.
Yeah, yeah.
As I say, it's not madly important, but it would be quite nice to be able to watch it.
Yeah, and that will
change from the radio. Yeah.
That will continue to happen. The BBC and ITV as well on their websites now require you, and all four as well, require you to sign in.
Yeah, well, it was all right to start with. I was signed in and I used to watch it, and then all of a sudden
No. It suddenly, I think they require it. I don't know whether it's after a certain length of usage or whatever. You are required to sign in again. So don't worry.
Yeah.
So please don't you know, think it's you. It's a general thing that they are asking, you know, more than just once. You will be asked again, but hopefully not several months.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I might contact him about that.
Yeah.
What he was very helpful was with my talking book, because I do rely on my talking books, although I do get them from the RNIB as well now. But I take it around with me and listen to it while I'm doing other jobs. And Overdrive suddenly packed up, but Steve got me onto BorrowBox instead, which was very useful, which is now the library rather than the RNIB, Devon Libraries instead. So that was quite important to me, actually, that he did that for me last summer.
Okay. I know that a lot of people had a problem when we switched over from Overdrive to Dolphin Easy Reader and the reading service.
Yeah.
And we've been helping lots and lots of people over transition.
Yeah.
And so if you need help with that, any of you, please ring up, because we're well used to helping people get that, you know, that service, the reading book service, back in their lives, because it is relied on by many, many people.
Yes, I know. That really is a help in these days, particularly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we have our expert knowledge in RNIB, and although they can't do the face to face at the moment, understandably,
no.
They are still there. They are still providing a service over the phone, and are still able to offer support to people in that way, which is really important that people know that. At this time where, you know, we kind of have to spend much more time in the house than we may do normally, it is important that people are still able to make connections with the people that they know, friends that they have, see what's happening in the rest of the world, watch the TV programs that they like. So all those pieces of technology that we rely on for that, it's really important that people know where they can go to for support, which I suppose at this juncture, Yvonne, it might be useful for you to just remind people of the number.
Yes. So the number is 0303 123 9999.
Yeah.
And for anybody that didn't have a pen ready, or is unable to write it down for any reason, remember that you can call myself, Tracy, or Louise, and we obviously have that number on fast dial.
Yes.
it's a service that we use on a regular basis for people that we are supporting.
Right, thank you.
Was there anybody else that had any questions or comments? No, you've done a good job, Yvonne. You've answered everybody's...
bored people rigid.
Yeah. I wonder, Tracy, would you like to just talk about the joint working that yourself and Yvonne have done in Sidmouth?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, okay. So I've got problems with my phone today. We had a collaboration which started probably about 2 years ago with the RNIB in Yvonne and Libraries Unlimited and ourselves, because we all know that technology can be life-changing for some people with sight loss. But there just wasn't the availability to actually get people started and to develop their knowledge and give them the confidence to actually use the technology. So we got together, and Yvonne was absolutely brilliant. We were able to offer sessions at Sidmouth Library, six sessions during the term time, and on a Monday afternoon, and it was really successful. It was one-to-one support. There were generally, I think, three or four people at each session. You know, it was an opportunity to get out, for people to get out and, you know, chat with other people with sight loss and how you know, discover how they were getting on with their, you know, piece of technology. Hopefully, Yvonne, this is a question for you, maybe we can at some point, we will get to the end of COVID, that we can actually, you know, resurrect what we were doing, because it was invaluable, and the feedback, like Tina said just now, Tina was one of the people that actually went on to the sessions, the feedback was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, certainly that's in my plan, that we resurrect it.
Well, that's good. Brilliant. We look forward to that.
Superb. Okay, was anybody else, while you have an opportunity, to ask any questions of Yvonne or of myself about services with Devon Insight at the moment, now's your time. Oh, and now I'm going to take that as a positive, that everybody is completely confident in the information that they have today. Okay, on that note, I would just like to thank everybody for coming along today. That has been absolutely fantastic. Yvonne, especially, that was a really useful and informative talk that you gave us today. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, just to let people know that our speaker for next Tuesday is Phil Smith, who works with blind veterans. And we know Phil very, very well within Devon Insight. So look forward to catching up with you at that point. On that note, everybody stay well, stay safe. Remember that you can contact myself or Tracy or Louise if you are experiencing any difficulties or are needing a little bit of support or information. We'd be happy to support you. And on that note, have a lovely week until I see
you
or hear from you next week.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.